Genesis chapter 32. Balanced diet.
You know, yesterday we're looking at a subject. The evidences that reveal that God is with a man. We saw yesterday that the first evidence is the anointing. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. I didn't have so much time to take us further on the first point I made. But whether you know it or not, every believer is anointed. There's an anointing on you. There's an anointing on you. The scripture says we have received an unction. We all have received an unction from the Holy One. An unction. The unction talks about the knowing of the anointing. The anointing has a lot of functions, a lot of operations. But when it is an unction facilitates spiritual knowledge. All right? He said, we have received an unction from the Holy One and we know all things. See, the unction, part of the anointing, gives you spiritual knowledge. Knowledge that you did not pick up from the library, from the laboratory, from a lecture. It precipitated in your spirit through an activity of the Holy Ghost. I will keep preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching until every one of us begins to profit by the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life. Every one of us must profit. There must be a sign, there must be something to show that yes, the Holy Ghost has advanced me much more than my colleagues, my peers. I will keep teaching until that becomes commonplace in your life. The more I study the Bible, that's what I see. That's what I see. That the Holy Spirit was given to us to complete us. The man without the Holy Ghost is a man of infirmity. He's not ready to engage this life. He's going to be on the backstage, on the backside. And when we find out how to take advantage of spirit presence, spirit power, and the potential that we have in the Holy Ghost, oh my God. Irrespective of what the devil does in your day, you will stand out. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You will stand out. There will be an evidence that there's something, there is an immortal rock that you are leaning upon, that is not subject to circumstances, subject to economy, subject to recession. Your life will speak such that when men are cast down, you will say that there is a lifting up. Believe it! You know, those days I used to confess the word of God, I used to preach the word of God. Amen. But there were things in my life I could not move. There were things staring me in the face that looked as if my preaching and my gospel was not accurate. I had limitations, I had all kinds of stuff. But you see, in my own unique and minute way, the Holy Spirit was at work in my life. Yes, there were limitations. Many financial limitations here and there and all of that. But the Holy Ghost will whisper to me. He will encourage me. If I study, if I pray, he speaks to me. I say, okay. And I kept walking with him. And many things began to change. Many things changed. So I present the same recipe. You will walk with him and many things will change. Amen. Now the things that are changing are not the major things he's doing. The things changing around, alright? The major thing he's doing is getting you to know him. But as that is going on, things to change along. That's the way of the kingdom. Say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things shall be added. Alright? So you are seeking him. He's working on you. He's revealing himself to you, but he's working on all other things. Okay? Now, all right. Let's take two scriptures. I said Genesis chapter 32, verse Just two scriptures for tonight. Give you a balanced diet. Oh, I wish we had more time to pray. Genesis 32, verse 28. Another evidence to show that God is with you. And he said, "What is thy name?" Oh, sorry. Let me jump. Sorry, let's... Can we take it from 24? Genesis 32, 24. And Jacob was left alone, and they wrestled the man with him until the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And Jacob, and he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed." Now the phrase I would like you to underline in your Bible is power with God. A man that God is with has power with God. And I'm going to explain to us what I mean by thou hast power with God. "For like a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and thou hast prevailed." That's the second sign to show that a man, that God is with a man. He has power with God. Power with God. Please help me preach to your neighbor. Power with God. There are several people that have power with the Benue State government. But it's a better thing to have power with the heavenly government. There are several people that can drive into government house and after 2 days, after 5 days, you see the effect of their visit to government house. They have power with the Benue State government. They can influence things in the government. They can make things happen in Nigeria. And some people are actually global citizens. They can make phone calls in France and things will change. They can make phone calls in the United States and people will begin to run helter-skelter. A protocol is initiated on the account of the phone calls that they can make. They are global citizens. In any nation, they find themselves, they get red carpet reception. They have power among the nations. But the Bible says that Jacob had what? He had power with God. Someone say power with God. Power with God. Power with God. Oh my God, I don't have time to take you into the linguistic setting. The linguistic setting. The word there is S-A-W-R-A-W. Saurau. We don't have time for that. It's a complex word. It's a complex word. The closest English word to Saurau in Aramaic language is to have influence, to be able to dominate, to be able to take advantage of. Okay? So thou hast power with God. Somebody can walk into government house and he can take advantage of the government. A policy direction is initiated just because somebody walked into government house. Not everybody has that capacity. When something's happened, it means that that guy has power with the state government. A man that God is with, apart from the fact that he is anointed and some of the abilities of God are allowed to flow through his vessel, that's not the ultimate definition of a man that God is with. There's a higher plane to that. It's a man that has power with God. Now, let me use a scripture to explain this, and then I will sum it up, and then we'll practice it. You know, hey, you see, I believe in doing Bible study, then we practice it. Do practical, you do theory, you do practical. I am not a very big man of God anyway, but I have a little power with God. I can walk into heaven and a policy direction will be initiated because of my stature in heaven. Small stature though, but stature nonetheless. Hallelujah. You can change the situation. You can change some circumstances because of the influence that you have with God. Now, let's take a scripture to give us perspective about this. The teaching will not be long. I just want to introduce the subject so that you can understand what it means. And as we go on, we'll keep teaching on this subject as many times as I have opportunity to stand before you in weekly services like this. Then, eventually, I will show you how to be great in the sight of God. What to do for you to attain greatness and stature in the sight of God. If you are still with me, say amen. Now, so I will leave the linguistic angle for now, but there's a lot of theology that we can build from the linguistic angle to make you see it in proper light. We don't have time for that. Give me 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 6. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 6. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 6. I would just like us to read it so that we can bring perspective to what we are trying to raise. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee. Now, I would like us to see the parameters that he brought down. So, I beseech thee. Then he took God into memory lane. Remember now how I walked before thee in truth, one, and with a perfect heart, two, and have done that which is good in thy sight, three. And those are the basic things that makes a man have stature with God. How I walk? You are not with me. Can we bring those 3 points out? The first point is what? How I have what? I've walked before thee in truth. Now, do you know that scripture that says God is spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth? Now, that word truth is the same relative that is used here. And it's a whole world. It's a whole world. It's a whole world. It has to do with I've walked with God and I'm right with God in the knowledge of my conscience. Are you with me? You know, when we are walking with God, the conscience is like a meter that gives us an up-to-date level of compliance in our obedience. So in my conscience, I'm up-to-date in my walk with God. That's what he's saying. I've walked with God in truth. My conscience has been a searchlight, an indicator that reveals my level of compliance at each point or the other point. And I can say boldly from the bottom of my conscience that I am in alignment with God. So remember that. Now, when we are talking about men that have power with God, your entire span of your walk with God is part of what gives you that kind of favor before God. That's number one. Now, what's the next point? Perfect heart. Wholeheartedly. Now, some people serve God, but they don't serve him wholeheartedly. My assignment is simple. My assignment. Hallelujah. My assignment is teach, lead the people to pray. That's my assignment. As long as I'm in my body, I'm not sick. Whether there's rain, sunshine, I will come and do my own little assignment. I will fight against anything that wants to meditate against me doing my assignment. In fact, as it stands now, my life revolves around my assignment. When you serve God wholeheartedly, your life revolves around your assignment. All the major things around your life, you'll find it around your assignment. Your damn self, around your assignment. So if you are not committed to God, there are many things you will not see. And when you stumble upon some by your wisdom, you now generate a ministry that God did not ordain. Everything will be around your assignment. That's it. When we were praying in Kano, every day I was there at the time of prayer. Every day. But you know, you need to fight different things to be there. Every day. Sometimes you fight rain to be there. Sometimes you fight poverty to be there. You begin to trek. You are not with me. The fact that you are there every day is an indication that you have fought many things. Because your life must revolve around your assignment. When a man is serving God wholeheartedly, you will know. Because that will become his philosophy. That will become his direction. He doesn't have an alternative. He doesn't have a change of plan. If you check the apostolic church, they just had fourfold agenda. Not so bogus, but they were committed to it and they continued in it. See, when you begin to commit to God and you continue in God, God consumes you. You will not know that God has possessed you. You can't. The more you walk into God, the more it will be very difficult for you to sin. When a suggestion of sin comes, he's so difficult to prosecute. For some people, it's so easy to prosecute. It means they have not gone far with God. You understand what I'm talking about? As you go, he possesses you. He takes you over. Your priorities will change. Your taste buds will change. Your likes and dislikes will begin to change. It will change in line with what you have deliberately committed yourself. So if you are following God wholeheartedly, it changes your entire life. So a man that is not following God wholeheartedly, his life is not changed. He's visiting church, visiting God. He's retaining his normal life. His life is not consumed in God. And so, when you come before God, one of the elements of stature is how, yes, we know you have been serving God, how wholehearted was that service? Finally, what's the last point there? I've done that which is good in thy sight. I also partook in your work of philanthropy. The deposit. You don't do any good except you have a deposit from whence to dispense good. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. So I've done that which is good in thy sight. The deposit that you gave me, I administered it in keeping with your intentions. And when he brought these things to the table and made a plea, God could not overlook those things. God had to change his mind. That's power with God. Just like the governor doesn't have a plan for something. Then somebody comes into government house in the night. And they do a meeting till 4 a.m. And by 4 a.m., even though he did not have a plan, he has initiated another plan just because a man that has power with him has stepped in. You get that? So I can walk into heaven. Maybe God did not even have a plan for a particular thing. But because I have power with him, as I'm engaging him, those three factors are the factors that are responsible for my negotiation with God. Those three factors. Your walk with God. Whether you have been doing it wholeheartedly. If you have been doing it wholeheartedly, God will consume you. And if God consumes you, hallelujah. Unknowingly, you are an object of his will. Unknowingly. You are not living to serve yourself, you are living to serve him. Even unknowingly. It has become unconscious. And when suggestions come for you to rebel against God, it's so difficult to do it. Because you have gone far with God. You can't even put yourself to consider that option. You are insulated from all kinds of suggestions of sin and trespass. It's a good place to be. Where it's hard to sin, it's easy to follow God. For some people, it's easy to sin, it's hard to follow God. That is how much of your heart, that's an indicator of how much of your heart was in the process. It's hard for me to see now. And then it's very easy for me to follow. I do it almost naturally. It's as if it's my nature. I was born with it. For some people, it's hard to follow God, but it's easy to see. Are you there? Is it hard for you to see? Then you have walked some distance. And that distance that you have walked, you can bring that distance on the table and use it to negotiate. The guy got an answer. He got an answer. The prophet did not leave the building. He put his stature, he put everything online, and he manipulated that position, and God had to give the word again to the prophet to go back and change the decree that was uttered. That is power with God. He said, like a prince, thou hast what? The fact that God said it doesn't mean that will be the position. If a man of stature comes and says, Baba, how this matter? He can change. God allows himself to be changed like that, to be influenced like that. He allows it. So the ability to move the hand of God, that's the ability to move the hand of God. You do it with your walk with God, we do it with the, whether or not your heart is totally committed to God, and you do it with whether or not you do that which is good in the sight of God. Great things. Oh, I wish I had time to read more scriptures, but we are out of time. In fact, we don't even have time to practice what I've taught tonight. We don't have time to practice what I have taught tonight. Walk with God. Should I give you more examples of having power with God? Yes. Let me give you more examples so that you can see it. We were in for a crusade one time, and this lady came under the power of God. She was heavily possessed, and demons were on her life. And when the power of God came upon the lady, she began to terrorize the ushers. The ushers were born again. But she would look at them. In fact, she pointed one of the ushers and said, "You!" And the usher abandoned ushering. That is, for that day, he was no longer an usher. And I remember that lady, when she begins to look at you, then you know this black stuff in the eye. I don't know what the medical people call it. All right? So this black stuff goes. And then what is? Then the white stuff becomes yellow. The black stuff begins to fade away, and then the white stuff becomes yellow. And when she looks at you like that and she utters something, the usher decided to decline. He was born again, but he had no power. Hallelujah. So when we were taking stock of the crusade that we held, every other thing was good. We brought decision sleep. So many people gave their life to Christ. In fact, one of the nights, 500 and something people get their life returned. So everything was positive until the ushers brought their report. The usher said there was a damsel that sent us out of ministry. I said, that's not good. That part of the video, we have to replay it. Let's rewind it. So I sent people to the damsel and invited her for. People that are persuasive, exceptionally persuasive elements. We're sent to invite the damsel because we have to rewind that aspect of the video and attend to it. So she came and then she sat in the meeting and was doing my Bible study. You know, one thing you may not know, I start teaching as a teacher from the office of a teacher. Then as we are moving, I don't have time to do that again. I would have sent this man because the transition is taking place. And I'm entering to the office of the prophet. That is the uniqueness of my own call. I don't know. I thank God for that. So I transit and I become a prophet. And it happens when the transition is taking place, I will feel something. So that's when I normally tell my music crew to give me sound. Because I mean, like Elisha, before the prophetic comes intense when I hear sound. And the transition, the Bible study was so sweet that the lady forgot that she was possessed. But unknown to her, there was a transition. And my eyes in the spirit began to open. When the feet came to that place, that lady ran. She stood up and she ran. And the same ushers that were sent out of ministry became my foot soldiers. I sent them. They were, Jesus. We had a fight. And in Kano, it was noise abroad that Jesus had power over them. She came up with a shot. Because when the lady now looked at me, and that black left. It was now yellow. Oh, Jesus, I love that. I I don't know, something. Guy, we have stopped fighting. We used to be rugged before. Rugged. I've seen power before. One day, a madman came to a crusade and slapped me. Pwah! Then I called on heaven. Power took him up from here, and he landed where that door. I know you will not believe that. He landed where that door is. Guess what? We continued the meeting till 12 midnight. He rose up sane. He came insane. After that, he rose up sane. His father is a Muslim. The man contributed money to our crusade the next day. In hiding, he called me to a corner and said, he didn't know how to give the offering. There was, you know, normally before you give something, you talk. But there was no wisdom, so he did like it. What will he say? What did he, as a Muslim, what will he say? That was power with God. And that was quickly. I want to pray for you. That your voice will be heard in heaven. Doesn't matter what is going on. When you come and you make a prayer, let God honor your voice. I have some scriptures, some dangerous scriptures. I prepared them for you. But you see, because of time, we have to pray for the vice president. And that prayer point came by inspiration. It means right now, there's a problem. Power with God. That madman went free. Same. Power with God. Hallelujah. We went for a crusade in Zaria. And if you know Zaria very well, you know that most of all the revival that happened in Zaria came from that church called Charity and Faith. Do you know Zaria? Charity and Faith. That's where Yinka Yusuf convert. Yes, Shire. That people like Yinka Yusuf were Muslims. That's where they discipled them. All kinds of strange people came out of that place. Alright? So it's a place. Normally in Zaria, every time we go there. So that we ensure that that fountain doesn't die. Because after, you know, so many battles and all of that, so we normally go there. So one day, in my prayers, we went for crusade, in my prayers, and I saw that mommy, there was a problem. So we went there. Sat like this. What is this problem? Then we began to pray in tongues. 5 minutes. I began to see visions. And I began to prophesy. Accurate. The prayer ended for 10 minutes because there was God had shown us the way. Now you can come there and pray for 2 days and you are not sure of what you prayed about. Somebody can come and pray for 10 minutes. He has direction. Like a prince. Thou hast what? Power with God. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your people. And I ask that you grant all of us favor before your presence. Let our prayers become irrelevant, legal, tender, that cannot be ignored in the house of heaven. Grant us this great privilege in thy courts, in Jesus' name.